If you've never heard of the Westboro Baptist Church, you can consider yourself lucky. This Topeka, Kansas-based congregation and frankly, I struggle calling them Baptist or even church. Perhaps you've seen them on TV. These are the folks who protest funerals of fallen soldiers and other people, holding up their obscene placards. In their twisted ideology, the death of soldiers or other persons somehow represents God's judgment on our nation for wicked ways. Jews and LGBTQ persons are also frequent objects of their wrath. The signs they carry and the words they shout are downright vulgar. I've often wondered, perhaps you have too, why in the world people who carry the name church would picket and protest a funeral to convey their message. How unloving can one be? I mean, to deny that the overarching theme of the biblical witness is one of love, to deny that seems crazy to me. It's as if they've never heard of mercy, of grace, of selflessness, or that they've removed all the words of Jesus from their Bibles. Why this church feels the need to pick a fight with grieving families is beyond me. Now, of course, church fighting is nothing new. Sadly, you can read about churches in conflict every day. But unlike those folks from Westboro Church who intentionally pick fights with others, many church conflicts begin as internal disagreements. And unfortunately, these church fights are rather commonplace. Churches have fought and even split over such weighty matters as the color of the carpet and the sanctuary, which is why I suppose we installed slate. Some churches fight about finances, others about whether to include or exclude, or whether to ditch the hymnal for the screen and projector. I may have told you before that my previous church, the First Baptist Church of Ahoskie, North Carolina, back in the 1940s, they installed this huge neon sign right out front on Main Street. Why did they install such an ugly sign? Because someone gave it to the church. And if there's anything that churches love, it's free stuff. Well, in 1954, Hurricane Hazel came through and blew the sign clear off the building. The local newspaper published a picture of the big sign lying in the middle of Main Street. The following Sunday, the church held a business meeting. One point of business was whether to reinstall the sign. The motion to reinstall the sign was defeated 355-14. There was some conflict there. And you know, I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of. In fact, if a church is truly being the church, it's going to have some conflict from time to time because issues matter. Theology matters. People matter. And you know, River Road Church's openness to all people, our support for women in pastoral ministry, our progressive mission outreach, those things from time to time, I suspect, have ruffled some feathers. And that's okay. That's okay, because if a church is going to follow Jesus Christ, then it's going to have some conflict from time to time. There will be some decisions that are made that some will applaud and others may not. But here's the key. The key, of course, is to work through our disagreements in ways that honor one another and ensure that all voices are heard and that problems are resolved. My friend and fellow pastor, now retired Larry Bethune, explains it this way. He says, healthy churches are just like healthy families. They know how to fight right and know which are the right fights to fight. He says, as followers of Jesus, we should fight those fights that Jesus fought. We should fight the good fight of faith against the temptations to sell out to lesser gods. He says we should fight the good fight against evil, intolerance, selfishness, greed, and injustice. Sometimes there are good fights to fight, he says. But then he says this, but even in those fights we must fight like Christians, speaking the truth in love, respecting every person as beloved of God. Even in those fights, we manifest the light of Christ within us. I think that's a good word. But let's remember that today's Christians aren't the first to squabble. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which we read this morning, a portion of, it's one of the earliest books of the New Testament to be written, and it tells of how that church in Corinth suffered from severe disunity and divisiveness. Paul himself had started that church just a few years before, but already they were fussing. They were fussing and fighting, and not just divided into two factions, but several. And it's not even clear now what the issues were. But of course, I suspect that the fight was what these fights are always about. Power. Who's going to get their way? And in today's scripture reading, people in the church had divided themselves according to different leaders within the church. Some said, I belong to Paul, while others said, I belong to Cephas. That's Peter's name in Aramaic, by the way. Others still said, I belong to Apollos. Which is interesting. We don't know a lot about Apollos, by the way, other than he could preach your socks off. He was such a slick evangelist. It's about all we know about him. Anyway, here's how Paul answers all this. He says, my dear friends, you don't belong to me, you don't belong to Peter, you don't belong to Apollos. We all belong to Jesus. The Apostle Paul calls us, implores us to stay focused on the unity that holds us together. Well, what is the source of our true unity? What binds us together as River Road Church? Do we all agree on politics? Do we all agree on theology? Not exactly. We are, of course, a mixture of conservative, liberal, everything in between. So what holds us together? Where do we find our true unity? Unlike the people in the church in Corinth, we do not gather around leadership personalities. We don't gather around congregational philosophy or denominational labels. We gather around Jesus Christ. Christ holds us together. Our unity is found in Him. This is such an important word, I believe, for our world today. Because we are a divided people. Nation against nation. And even within our own nation, it seems like we are deeply divided these days by politics. Turn on the evening news and that is clear. We are so divided, we don't see others on the opposite side of the aisle as persons with different perspectives. Too often we see one another as enemies. And politics isn't the only thing that divides us, it's any number of things. But you know what, church? I'm just crazy enough to believe that it doesn't have to be that way. I'm just crazy enough to believe that the church can show the world a better way. What might it look like if the church could come together to proclaim that no matter where we find ourselves on the theological spectrum, no matter how much or how little we earn, no matter our age, gender, race, politics, we cannot be divided because we belong to Christ. Could the church lead the way in showing this world that not only do we belong to Christ, but we belong to each other? Which means, of course, that we are not enemies. We are brothers and sisters, one human family. Among the many things I love about this church is that we're a diverse church when it comes to life experiences, politics, theology, any manner of perspectives. I love this about our church because I believe this makes us strong. I believe our church is made stronger in our diversity and by our commitment to remaining unified in Jesus Christ. Our church is made stronger in our understanding that even though we don't see eye to eye on everything, we are all God's beloved children, and every person matters here. What holds us together? Jesus Christ holds us together. To be clear, I'm not suggesting that anyone has to water down what they believe. We aren't called to check our brains, our hearts, our beliefs at the door when we come to church. What I am suggesting, however, is that the light of Christ will shine brightly through us when the world sees that despite all that might pull us apart, we remain united in Christ and His beautiful love. You remember what Martin Luther King Jr. said? I have decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Because of this beautiful witness to the unity of love demonstrated by those of us who follow Christ, maybe, just maybe, this world might see that love is a better way. That's what I'm praying for. Amen.